Your best friend. Do you need a friend? Someone to always be around, caring for you, no matter who you are or what you've been. Friends come and go in life, and when you're down, some will never be there when you need them. And some may stay around, and they are a blessing from God, the one who created love indeed. They are gifts, and that is what they are. You know, we have a true friend in Jesus, the one who loves us so and paid the price with his very life. At the cross of Calvary, where bared his soul to the latent hate from unruly crowds, wanting blood. Then he bled and died, and so we live eternally. If we may choose this day whom we will serve. Terrible things are happening these days all across the globe, and our country is not immune. Earthquakes, tsunamis, hurricanes, fires, floods, and disease, pestilence. They all make our time on earth to be living in the last, according to the Holy Bible and what it says about end times. And it's getting late indeed to make the change that one needs to be forgiven and to live with Him in heaven. He came to claim the sinners of the world, His precious sons and daughters too, who He wants to live with in heaven, His sons and daughters whom He wants to save, for them to love Him, and it is our choice to live or die within the coming time of the end of the world. So why wait to make your move to Him who loves you so? Your friend until the end. Jesus chose his beloved disciples well from mostly common folk, and several from the fishing industry along the Sea of Galilee, and there was a Dr. Luke, and two, in great contrast, a Judas Iscariot, the one that would betray the Son of God on earth. And the point here is, he'll give anyone, even you, a chance to work for him for souls to glow within his kingdom beyond the setting sun, where the Son of God resides within the favored place called heaven. Jesus remains beside the Father as our intercessor, our advocate or lawyer, representing the fallen race who have overcome and have been forgiven from our many sins. The saved will appear as spotless as new fallen snow appears as we come from the foot of the old rugged cross, where the terrible price was paid for our very souls. Souls that He loves. And it's a terrible thing to think about missing out and being left behind in these coming times. And now we switch to another important aspect in these days, and that's the Sabbath, the Holy Sabbath. The Sabbath was hallowed at the creation. As ordained for man, it had its origin with the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Peace brooded over the world, for earth was in harmony with heaven. God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And He rested in the joy of His completed work, because He had rested upon the Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, set it apart for a holy use. He gave it to Adam as a day of rest. It was a memorial of the work of creation, and thus a sign of God's power and His love. The scripture says that He hath made His wonderful works to be remembered. The things that are made declare the invisible things of Him since the creation of the world. even his everlasting power and divinity. All things were created by the Son of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And since the Sabbath is a memorial of his work of creation, it is a token of the love and the power of Christ. The Sabbath calls our thoughts to nature and brings us into communion with the Creator. In the song of the bird, the sighing of the trees, and the music of the sea, we still may hear his voice who called with Adam in Eden in the cool of the day. And as we behold his power in nature, we find comfort. For the Word that created all things is that which speaks life to the soul. He who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It was this thought that awoke the song, Thou, Lord, hath made me glad. Through thy work I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. And the Holy Spirit through the prophet Isaiah declares, To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretched out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one that faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and prophet of Israel, My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? He giveth power to the faint, and to them that hath no might. He increaseth strength. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yes. I will help thee, yes. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God. And there is none else. This is the message written in nature, which the Sabbath is appointed to be kept in memory. When the Lord bade Israel to hallow his Sabbaths, he said, They shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am Jehovah your God. The Sabbath was embodied in the law given from Sinai, but it was not first made known as a day of rest. The people of Israel had a knowledge of it before they came to Sinai. On the way thither, the Sabbath was kept. When some profaned it, the Lord reproved them, saying, How long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? The Sabbath was not for Israel merely, but for the world. It had been made known to man in Eden, and like the other precepts of the Decalogue, it is of imperishable obligation. Of that law, of which the fourth commandment forms a part, Christ declares, Till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, So long as the heavens and earth endure, the Sabbath will continue as a sign of the Creator's power. And when Eden shall bloom on earth again, God's holy rest day will be honored by all beneath the sun. From one Sabbath to another, the inhabitants of the glorified new earth shall go up to worship before me, saith the Lord. No other institution which was committed to the Jews tended so fully to distinguish them from surrounding nations as did the Sabbath. God designed that its observance should designate them as His worshipers. It was not to be a token of their separation from idolatry and their connection with the true God. But in order to keep the Sabbath holy, men must themselves be holy. Through faith, they must become partners of the righteousness of Christ. When the command was given to Israel, remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, the Lord said also to them, Be ye holy men unto me. Only thus could the Sabbath distinguish Israel as the worshipers of God. As the Jews departed from God and failed to make the righteousness of Christ their own by faith, the Sabbath lost its significance to them. Satan was seeking to exalt himself and to draw men away from Christ. And he worked to pervert the Sabbath because it is the sign of the power of Christ. The Jewish leaders accomplished the will of Satan by surrounding God's rest day with burdensome requirements. In the days of Christ, the Sabbath had become so perverted that its observance reflected the character of selfish and arbitrary men, rather than the character of the loving Heavenly Father. The rabbis virtually represented God as giving laws which it was impossible for men to obey. They led the people to look upon God as a tyrant and to think that the observance of the Sabbath as He required it made men hard-hearted and cruel. It was the work of Christ to clear away these misconceptions. Although the rabbis followed Him with merciless hostility, He did not even appear to conform to their requirements, but went straight forward, keeping the Sabbath according to the law of God. Upon one Sabbath day, as the Savior and His disciples returned from the place of worship, they passed through a field of ripening grain. Jesus had continued His work to a late hour, and while passing through the fields, the disciples began to gather the heads of grain to cut the kernels, after rubbing them in their hands. On any other day, the act would have excited no comment, for one passing through a field of grain or orchard or a vineyard was at liberty to gather what he desired to eat. But to do this on the Sabbath was held to be an act of desecration. Not only was the gathering of the grain a kind of reaping, but the rubbing of it in the hands was a kind of threshing. Thus, in the opinion of the rabbis, there was a double offense. The spies at once complained to Jesus, saying, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. When accused of Sabbath breaking at Bethesda, Jesus defended Himself by affirming His sonship with God and declaring that He worked on with harmony with the Father. Now that the disciples are attacked, He cites His accusers to examples from the Old Testament, acts performed on the Sabbath by those who were in the service of God. The Jewish teachers prided themselves on their knowledge of the Scriptures, and in the Savior's answer there was an implied rebuke for their ignorance of the sacred writings. Have ye not read so much of this, He said, what David did when himself was hungered, and they which were with him? Now he went into the house of God and did take and eat the showbread, which it is not lawful to eat, but for the priests alone. And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in all this place is one greater than the temple. The Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. It was right for David to satisfy his hunger by eating of the bread that had been set apart to a holy use. Then it was right for the disciples to supply their need by plucking the grain upon the sacred hours of the Sabbath. Again, the priests in the temple performed greater labor on the Sabbath than upon other days. The same labor in secular business would be sinful, but the work of the priest was in the service of God. They were performing these rites that pointed to the redeeming power of Christ, and their labor was in harmony with the object of the Sabbath. But now Christ himself had come, the disciples, in doing the work of Christ, were engaged in God's service and that which was necessary for the accomplishment of this work. It was right to do on the Sabbath day. Christ would teach his disciples and his enemies that the service of God is first of all. The object of God's work in this world is the redemption of man. Therefore, that which is necessary to be done on the Sabbath is the accomplishment of this work. It is in accord with the Sabbath law. Jesus then crowned his argument by declaring himself the Lord of the Sabbath. One above all question and above all law, this infinite judge acquits the disciples of blame, appealing to the very statutes they are accused of violating. Jesus did not let the matter pass with administering a rebuke to his enemies. He declared that in their blindness they had mistaken the object of the Sabbath. He said, "If ye have known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would have condemned the guiltless." Their many heartless rites could not supply the lack, but come to place it where it would glorify God and work to the salvation of humanity. The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath, Jesus said. The institutions that God had established are for the benefit of mankind. All things are for your sakes. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. The law of 10 commandments, of which the Sabbath forms a part, God gave to his people as a blessing. The Lord commanded us, said Moses, to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, and that he might preserve us alive. And through the psalmist, the message was given to Israel, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And of all who keep the Sabbath from polluting it, the Lord declares, even them will I bring to my holy mountain, make them joyful in my house of prayer. Wherefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. These words are full of instruction and comfort because the Sabbath was made for man. It is the Lord's day. It belongs to Christ. For all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Since he made all things, he made the Sabbath for him. It was set apart as a memorial of the work of his creation. It points to him as both the creator and the sanctifier. It declares that he who created all things in heaven and in earth, and by whom all things hold together, is the head of the church, and that by his power we are reconciled to God. For speaking of Israel, he said, I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them, make them holy. Then the Sabbath is a sign of Christ's power to make us holy, and it is given to all whom Christ makes holy. As a sign of his sanctifying power, the Sabbath is given to all through Christ, and they become a part of Israel of God. And the Lord says, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. For all who receive the Sabbath as a sign of Christ's creative and redeeming power, it will be a delight. Seeing Christ in it, they delight themselves in Him. The Sabbath points them to the work of creation as an evidence of His mighty power and redemption. While it calls to mind the lost peace of Eden, it tells of peace restored through the Savior. And every object in nature repeats His invitation, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest."